You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
You know, we're talking about how you have to be careful to make trades with a Spencer Jones or a John Smoltz and a Jeff Bagwell. The same thing goes in football. You look at what the Broncos just did. So they gave up 3 number one draft picks to Seattle to get Russell Wilson. Then they made a ridiculous contract extension when he still had 2 years left on his deal. And now they just released him. And they have $85 million of dead money on their cap before he played a snap of the extension that they gave him. Now that moves to the Giants. Are the Giants going to take a quarterback at 6, or are they going to trade for a quarterback? And the quarterback that is available that has everybody's interest is Justin Fields of the Bears, because the Bears have the number one pick in the draft, which they got from Carolina, so that Carolina could have the number one pick last year, and they look as if they're leaning toward picking Caleb Williams. So Justin Fields is available. Here's what Dan Graziano said earlier today.
Daniel Jones is hurt. He's going to have a rehab offseason. If you trade for Justin Fields and you're the Giants, he's going to take all of your offseason reps and maybe play for you in the preseason while Daniel Jones gets healthy. Who knows if Daniel Jones can be healthy enough to start the season? You may have an option there that you like. They play in an offense that leans a little bit on a mobile quarterback already, so some of the aspects of his game might translate. And if he were to hypothetically, you know, perform well in the preseason and then you feel good about Daniel Jones coming back, somebody else's quarterback gets hurt, you might be able to flip Justin Fields. So I like it for the Giants for a number of reasons. I have no idea if the Giants do.
I'm not quite sure. Everybody's saying, well, you get him for backup to Daniel Jones. Well, you know, he's still on a rookie scale contract. You have to pick up that fifth year option. Are you going to do that and spend all that money? You've already got $40 million invested in Jones. So you're going to pick up a backup quarterback, essentially, who's making big money as well as a first round draft pick. I mean, there's things I like about Justin Fields, but nothing that blows me away where I'm going to upset the apple cart and make a trade for him. Now, if I can get him, you know, for a late third,
yeah.
I don't even know if I want him for a second. Maybe I would do that. But obviously, the Bears want more than that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you make it work if you're the Giants. It's kind of a lateral move. Now, Fields, I guess, is a year or two younger. And even if you think he's better, it's not like he's that much better. You're not resetting the money at all, because like you said, you're eventually going to have to decide whether you want to pay him. I just don't think you've improved all that much that I got to give up at least, at minimum, a second round pick to find out. And then on top of that, the first year I have Fields, I'm paying Daniel Jones $40 million. Now, if you tell me you don't think Jones is going to be able to play, or there's like legit concern that he'll be ready for the start of the season, you just want somebody to be able to play with the personnel you have, okay, and then you can just let go of Jones when the season is over. But still, like you said, maybe a third round pick, okay, but if I'm giving up a second round pick, that means that's a piece that I could use to trade back into the first round to get a quarterback. Now, if they're in love with Justin Fields, I guess that's fine. But on the surface, Michael, is it that much of improvement to give up that much to find out?
Yeah, I mean, you're rolling the dice, and the reason you're rolling the dice, you thought enough of Daniel Jones to guarantee him at least $80 million. Now,
right,
obviously, injuries might change the way you look at that with the 2 neck injuries and the severe knee injury, but isn't it better to go for a really, really young quarterback in the draft rather than bringing in another guy who's got question marks? I mean, the Bears are moving on from him because he didn't answer their questions. He didn't answer enough questions for them to say, okay, he's our quarterback of the future. So the Giants going to make a trade for him? And it would come full circle because they traded up with the Giants to get Justin Fields. So Justin Fields has done nothing in Chicago that makes you go, wow. Just like Daniel Jones has done nothing that makes you go, wow.
Was it 82.3 career rating for Fields, 85.2 for Jones? So really the only positive to me, Peter, is the healthier player. But they're essentially the same player.
He's a healthier player, and he has moments like Daniel does where you go, oh, this guy could be something. But then he has other moments and stats that make you think otherwise. I was very high on Justin Fields watching him play last year. And at the end of the season, I went and dug in his stats. And I understand that basically they had DJ Moore for most of the season and nothing else. I get that. But still, you can't tell me you're 100% confident with him either.
No, DJ Moore's more than Daniel Jones has had for the latter part of his career.
Fair.
So what would you rather do if you're the Giants? If McCarthy falls to six, you want him? Or do you want to trade a second for Fields?
Not knowing how they feel about these quarterbacks, I have to believe that one of them could be available at six that you could be higher on than potentially what Justin Fields can be. Now, they all come with a problem, right? Penix, you probably get at six. That seems awful high to take him considering his knee issues. I don't think anybody has Knicks
and
going that
issues.
High. McCarthy's very interesting. It seems like there's a lot of momentum right now that by the time we get to the draft, he may seem like a steal at six. You know, when you have people thinking that all these quarterbacks are going to be gone by the time we get to the second half of the first round, can the Giants take the chance in trading back into the first round and taking a quarterback at like 25 or 26, where some people right now believe that the Knicks and the Penix and the McCarthys are better to be selected? Or if you wait, Michael, there's a possibility that they won't be around then. So you don't want to make that deal now because certainly there won't be any chance that those guys might be able to last that long. Not knowing how you feel about them, and even Graziano says he doesn't even know how they feel about Fields. You're kind of just grasping at straws here. But I would rather trade back into the first round and see if you can get one of these riskier quarterbacks later on in the first round than just taking a flyer at somebody at six again. That's what you did with Daniel Jones, and that hasn't worked out so far. Can you afford to do it again?
I'd rather take one of the three wide receivers at six and then trade up to get into the lower level of the back of the first round if one of those quarterbacks drops. But, you know, one thing, for the most part, we have liked what Shane and Dable have done. But they have not distinguished themselves with the whole quarterback situation. Not picking up the fifth-year option on Daniel Jones was a mistake. It was a mistake because then you could have franchise tagged him, and you would not have been in for $80 million on the guy. You just wouldn't have. So they misread it.
But you can understand them misreading it because there was no real reason to give it to him based on what he had done up until that point.
Okay, so then he had 1 year where he scored 16 TDs, threw for 16 TDs, and ran for however many more, and you gave him $80 million guaranteed. That's also not a smart play.
But it. If he didn't get hurt, and again, everything fell apart with this offense. That
he didn't even look great before he got hurt. Come on.
No, but listen, they lost 40-0 in the first game. That can't be all on him, all right? Waller ended up being their big acquisition during the offseason. Didn't materialize. He couldn't stay on the field. They were supposed to get Shepard back. He barely saw anything really from him at all during the course of the season. So, and the offensive line was putrid to start. And then Saquon Barkley was hurt at the beginning of the season too, Michael. And then they lose their left tackle in the first game of the season. So there was a lot of things that went wrong for the Giants besides the play of Daniel Jones. I don't think there was any reason at all, unless you want to say because you're a general manager in the NFL, you should be able to have a crystal ball to see that there was enough information to be able to give him that contract. So they play it out. All right, the stats weren't blowing you away, but he was the second best offensive player on the team behind Saquon. They win nine games. They win a playoff game.
But think about where they'd be, Don. I mean, their job is to see the future. And you've got a coach who's great with quarterbacks. You couldn't have just given him the fifth-year option? You wouldn't be in the mess you're in now. Then franchise tag.
But if you don't believe in it, you don't believe in it. And
so they fell in love. I don't even think the
I don't think they
fell in love because of the Viking game.
They didn't fall in love with him, obviously. Otherwise, they wouldn't have it out after 2 years. But they felt,
still give him a guaranteed $80 million.
But they felt that. But if it had worked out, Michael, and he progressed and got a little bit better, even had the exact same season as he did the year before, the $40 million could look like a bargain.
Yeah, but it didn't. You're right.
But it didn't. But the main reason, and this is something maybe either they didn't foresee or should have seen, is the fact that he got hurt. All right, so now you've got another knee injury on top of the two neck injuries, and now you wonder, is this guy to be able to stay upright? So they may end up parting ways with him, fully believing in his talent, but saying the guy gets hurt too much. I can't. I got to reset this. I just can't move forward with a guy that's got a bad neck and a bad knee. That might be ultimately why they part ways with him. For all we know, they still believe there's something there in him, but I'd be worried just on the standpoint of, can he stay healthy?
Now, Peter, I know you did. You told me during the season that you were watching Fields. Would you invest in him?
No, he has something I like about him. He has the ability to run while also, Don, being a pretty sturdy player. Like, he can really get out there and move, and you also don't get the sense that he's going to get hurt. He has a big arm. He's pretty accurate. He's got a lot there. But when you look at him over the course of a season, he's never put together a great season. So how could I invest? It's sort of like I feel about Jones. We're several years into this experiment, and we still don't know. So to me, that is the answer. And maybe sometime, someday, Fields ends up on a team where he becomes the guy. But if I'm forced to invest right now, and I'm the Giants, I'm not thinking about trying to make a move for Fields. I'd start fresh with a rookie quarterback.
1-800-919-3776. It's an interesting conundrum the Giants have, and made more interesting if, in fact, they love J.J. McCarthy, which I don't get. I could be wrong.
And one thing I want to say about Daniel Jones is that, you know, you just can't throw away what he did that season running the football. He ran for over 700 yards and 7 touchdowns. Now, I don't know if they want to have that kind of a quarterback moving forward, because you can get yourself hurt.
And he has, especially a guy who's injury prone, Don.
Yeah, but then you look at Justin Fields' best year. This is a guy that ran for 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns back in 2022. So there's a lot there. And he's a little bit younger. He's 24. Daniel Jones is 26. But I just don't know if it's worth the draft capital to take that kind of a chance.
Ian Begley reporting that league sources say that Jalen Brunson will be listed as questionable for tomorrow's game against Atlanta with a left knee contusion. Brunson has avoided serious knee injury, as was the hope following last night's game in Cleveland. Boy, what a sigh of relief from Nick Nation. I mean, really. When it happened, you thought, that's it, it's over. But that dude is tough. Let's hope that it's not a lot of games.
I mean, I was sure, Michael, that was it.
Yeah, just the way he looked, his leg almost like it was flopping.
But I'm telling you, it does kind of make sense now. Now that I know it's because there was a contusion from running into Hartenstein's knee, it does make some level of sense. I can actually get it now, because you ever had that funny bone hit and it's a delayed reaction? So,
but
maybe that's just what happened.
But it does show you how fragile this whole thing is.
Oh.
And how careful you have to be with him, guys. You know, can you afford to just max him while you're trying to survive these injuries, and then maybe not have a compromised Brunson when everybody else comes back? He's too good a player.
Let's go to the phones. 1-800-919-3776. Justin in Manhattan. Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Justin.
Great.
Justin.
Come on, you were there for so long. Well, and then for that to happen, it's not right.
It's not right. It doesn't make sense. Let's go to Dean in Florida. Dino.
Hey, guys. How's it going today?
Good. You?
Doing good. Donnie, I want to talk about the Rangers. What do you see us looking for over the week for somebody to go on Kreider and Mika's line?
Yeah, I just keep looking at the same, you know, usual suspects, Vetrano, because Anaheim's not going anywhere. I was talking to some people with Columbus, Roslovic, even though he doesn't have a ton of goals, a nice player. They're going to have to do something. Because Kreider and Zibanejad haven't given you enough 5-on-5. It's too important a position. They tried Kako there. It's worked a little bit. They tried VC. Wheeler obviously is done for the season. They're going to have to do something. This is their last game, guys, before the trade deadline. They play tonight. They don't play again until Saturday against St. Louis. The deadline's Friday. And they're going up against the best team in the NHL, in my mind, in the Florida Panthers. I think how things look tonight is really going to dictate the sense of urgency. Michael, if they don't look good against Florida, that kind of tells you, forget about how you feel about this team and the 10-game winning streak and first place in the Metropolitan Division. You might look at it and say, this is a test on what we're going to have to get through to win a championship. So I think tonight's really interesting from that standpoint. Now, I'm not saying they go out there and win the game 6-0. They shouldn't do anything. But How it looks tonight is really going to dictate at least the sense of urgency Chris Drury is going to have to find a winger or maybe even a center. I mean, you're not getting a lot out of Gaudreau and Brodzinski either at the center position scoring-wise. It's really all been about, you know, Trocheck 5-on-5. It's really been one line 5-on-5 that's produced. So there might be a couple of moves here before it's all said and done, but it's going to be happening before before Friday, and this will be the last game to audition to see what really has to happen.
Aaron and Woodmere. Aaron.
Hey, Michael, big fan.
Thanks.
I just want to call you out about something you said last week.
Oh, no. Do it.
Talking about how Brian Cashman is a Hall of Fame GM because he traded Joey Gallo for Clayton Beter. I understand you were being, like, tongue-in-cheek, but are you forgetting who the GM was who traded for Joey Gallo in the first place?
Absolutely.
And also, do you think the Dodgers...
Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your point.
Yeah, and do you think the Dodgers didn't know how hard this guy throws? He did throw 1-2-3 inning, but you said right before that you said you weren't concerned because Carlos Rodon because it's spring. But Beter pitching 1-2-3 inning makes Cashman a potentially Hall of Fame.
First of all, he did make the Gallo deal, and as Don always said, you know, if you don't correct your mistake, then you're just compounding it. But I was being tongue in cheek about that. To get a bag of balls for Joey Gallo would have been a good return. But Aaron, it sounds like you don't like Cashman. I'll guarantee you this: you sound like a younger guy. I might be long gone. Brian Cashman's going to the Hall of Fame.
And I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm just looking at this from an outside perspective. But it just feels like you're constantly going out of your way to defend him. And this Joey Gallo, he just got a multi-million-dollar contract with free agency. He's not a bag of balls sitting in the
dugout. Gallo got a one-year, $5 million deal with the Nationals. 1 year.
Okay, he's going to be a major league player.
He's a terrible player. Also, I'm always going out of my way. When did you just tune in today? I just ripped Brian Cashman and said the Josh Donaldson deal will go down as one of the worst deals he's ever made. So, listen, you could pick and choose what you want to hear. I have criticized Brian Cashman about many things.
You do end up defending him a lot.
But he's being ripped, he's a good quarterback.
And he's a good GM. He's always being ripped. So Michael ends up, because the fan base, and I have no dog in this fight, but the fan base rips Brian so much, and they go so overboard on their ripping of him, it's hard to not push back some with the way he's viewed by this fan base.
Now, the caller even admitted it was tongue-in-cheek when you said Hall of Fame based on that move, but there were tons of fans that would have just released Gallo to get just a warm body for him. It was a huge accomplishment. But, Michael, he's held to a different standard than everybody else. But that's not the standard the Hall of Fame is going to give. They're going to look at all the winning seasons, the championships early in his career, as still potential to win more championships before he decides to retire. He's still a young man, Michael. He could be the general manager of this team. Hold your nose, Yankee fans, or ears, for the next 20 years. I think the resume will probably have him in the Hall of Fame, but Peter's right. That might be the least attended Yankee ever inducted into the Hall of Fame, because I think most of the fans would just say, you know what, I'm good. I'm not going.
Well, let's put it there. There's a book coming out by Andy Martino, a great, great book called The Yankee Way, that really delves into what the Yankees do. And in that book, Billy Beane, not Michael Kay, Billy Beane said that Brian Cashman is probably the greatest GM in the history of Major League Baseball. The pressure that he works, again, you guys can hate him if you want. And I just said in the previous hour what a bad deal the Josh Donaldson deal turned out to be. Awful. He's made some bad deals. He's made some great deals. He was the guy behind getting Scott Brosius. He's the guy who got David Justice. That won you championships. Now, you can say, well, it was a long time ago. One thing, a lot of teams with a lot of money behind them don't have a 500 record every single year. That's not what the Yankees do. That's not how they're judged. But they have never finished under 500 with him as a GM. The Mets had a $300 million payroll last year. Guess what? They finished under 500. So it's not that easy just because there's money involved. And boy, if you didn't know that, I was being tongue-in-cheek about the Beter stuff. Again, to get anything, a breathing apparatus to get anything for Joey Gallo, who could not cut it with the Yankees, I think was pretty unbelievable. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Jeffrey in Westchester. Jeffrey.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
I wanted to talk about on the Giants. If I'm Joe Shane, I'm taking the chance in trading for Fields, you know, depending on the price. If it's a third and maybe something else.
Why?
Yeah, if it's a third and something else. For all the reasons of Peter mentioned earlier, the attributes. He's got the running game. You know, he is pretty accurate. He has got a heck of an arm. I think, and you hire Dable for a certain reason. He's supposed to be a quarterback genius. He can develop Fields. If it's cheap enough for a price, I think you go for it. And then you can use that 6th overall pick for a guard or another weapon to give him.
One thing though, Jeffrey, you're going to be up against it where you have to pick up his 5th-year option and then give him big money after that. So you're putting yourself in the same situation that you were in with Daniel Jones. By the way, this just released by the Devils, Don. They have relieved Lindy Ruff of his head coaching duties and named associate coach Travis Green as interim head coach for the rest of the season.
Yeah, some experience for Travis in Vancouver a couple of years ago. They just gave him a multi-year contract extension last year, but they never said how many years. So I don't know how much they're eating on this thing. They're such a young team and injuries. I guess you do what you have to do, but God, it doesn't seem like it's his fault when you've got two 20-year-olds playing over 20 minutes on the blue line because Hamilton's out. Your goaltending absolutely stinks. Hughes has been hurt. Heeshear's been hurt. Meyer's giving you nothing. But sometimes you do what you got to do. So I give them credit because there's obviously money that's being eaten on here. And you just gave the general manager, Fitzgerald, a contract extension as well. But it doesn't look like they're going to be making the playoffs. And after what was an amazing year last year, the Devils are a lot like the Giants, Michael. They had that surprising season last year, won a round. And then now that it looks like they're not going to make the playoffs, just like the Giants didn't make the playoffs. And the Giants aren't making any kind of moves, but in the NHL, it's such a transient position. So we'll see who takes over this job. There's clearly talent there, but I don't know if coaching was the biggest problem with New Jersey.
Now, I know what you've said over and over again, that you know you just can't compound a mistake, but I don't understand how GMs don't answer. You just said they gave Ruff a contract extension.
Yes.
So, how, you know, 3/4 of the way through the season, he's fired? So you were that wrong? So it's on you, too. That's on you.
Yeah.
I don't know how GMs get away with it. You just invested all my money, which I have to pay this guy for the next several years, not the coach. And then you just said, well, let's move on. And again, you have to correct your mistake. But that's on you. That mistake's on you.
Yeah, and then ultimately the powers that be will have to judge whether Fitzgerald gets how many more chances. He's going to get another chance here because I'm sure unless they just go on a miracle run here, make the playoffs and do something special, that Travis Green is going to be the coach moving forward after this season. But it looks like he's going to get another kick at the can. But he just got a contract extension, too. So it falls on ownership. You get so excited about 1 year in which your team accomplishes a lot, and you start throwing money all over the place. Now, maybe they felt like in order to get Timo Meyer signed, that they wanted to show stability, that, hey, our general manager and our head coach are locked in for long term. But yeah, it's still a mistake. You're still going to have to go out and get another coach.
And what's Huggins going to think with all this uncertainty?
Well, Michael, I am sure in this day and age, a move like that was run by him.
So Huggins,
right? He just had a long-term contract. He's one of the best players in the league.
Isn't that crazy?
I'm not
physically,
saying,
it's like running by a child.
But listen, they're running things past Aaron Judge, right? I mean, Michael, when you make this kind of financial investment in a player, I'm not saying that he should dictate policy, but you're probably going to run it by him.
I would think so.
And it didn't sound like he said, and if he said, don't fire him, I'm sure they would have said, okay, we won't. So I don't know with the vote of confidence that came from Huggins. Hughes, obviously, by the way. I like Huggins, though. It's nice.
Yeah, it's Charlie's way to say it. To hit a home run, everything needs to line up perfectly, no different than finding the person you want to marry. When the time comes to propose, well, do what I did. Visit the engagement experts at London Jewelers. They'll make shopping for a ring easy and help you hit it out of the park. Let them help you pick or design the perfect ring to fit any budget from their 2x London collection. London Jewelers is committed to getting it just right. So visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the Americana Mall and the Mall at Short Hills. Please mention I told you to stop by, and you're going to get the Michael K. treatment.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you know what we're going to do here, Don?
What's that?
Michael's, I don't know where Michael is in the second, so what I'm going to do is pick up a guy who's been on hold forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Michael just lets people sit and roast.
He did go to Griff early.
That was nice.
That was very nice.
Let's go to Tommy in Hoboken. Hey, Tommy.
Hi, Tom.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's up, baby?
Hey.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
How you doing?
I wanted to say, first of all, I called in, like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago when the second half of the season started, and I said to Don, I was like, what's up with the Rangers tonight against the Avalanche? And they, like, went on, like, a 9-game win streak or 10-game win
streak.
That's
right.
So
good job.
I want to take credit for that.
I think you should. I'm on board with you.
Thank you, Don. Now, I want to ask Michael, why does he think that Brian Cashman's a Hall of Fame GM? He didn't draft Jeter. He didn't draft Posada. He didn't draft Mariano. He inherited these guys. I think he's an egg-headed fool.
An egg-headed fool?
Strong.
Well, I don't.
I mean, I like it. I mean, I don't agree.
You don't agree with it,
but I like you coming.
Both could be true.
Coming strong. Pause.
Well, I mean, so he didn't draft those
Peter
guys.
Chill.
So Gene Michael was like his mentor. Listen, if you don't like Tommy, I don't know what to tell you. You don't like him, you don't like him. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame, whether you like it or not. You don't win four championships. You could say, well, he inherited a lot of the players. He didn't inherit David Justice. He didn't. He made a lot of deals that he didn't inherit, and he was part of the front office that got Scott Brosius. He's the one who curated that deal that Bob Watson pulled the trigger on. So please, it's hard to say whose fingerprints are on what. The guy's been a good GM for a long time, and to be a GM for as long as he has in the city that he's been a GM, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame again. You Yankee fans don't want to hear it. I'm not advocating for it. I'm just telling you what's going to happen. Come back to me in 20 years and tell me I'm wrong.
Now, can I play devil's advocate?
Of course you can.
The biggest problem for Brian is there's only four general managers in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Branch Rickey, Larry McPhail, Ed Barrow. This is going back to the Barrow. You know,
just getting past exactly, the name
George
McPhail
Weiss
is strong, by the way.
And George Weiss. So there will be more, obviously, that will go in, whether it's a president / general manager. Not too many executives go. And if he doesn't win another championship, I could see it be a long wait and maybe not getting in. I don't know if it's a fait accompli the way you make it out to be, Michael, just because it's not like ball players and managers. They have a difficult time getting in because it's hard to figure their resume.
It's not Michael. It's Billy Bean.
All right, so Billy Bean could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I mean, so Billy Bean thinks he's great, and I think he's great, Michael. I think he's way underrated compared to how Yankee fans feel about him because they judge it on winning a championship every year, and their payroll is always high. And they nitpick the four championships in 5 years as him being just like a witness to it and not a part of it. But to play devil's advocate, these guys don't get in very easily. Now, will that change over time? I can't imagine Theo Epstein wouldn't end up in the Hall of Fame someday.
He will. Another one I always forget, Brian Cashman got Chuck Knobloch, helped them win three championships. He made that trade. He did. He got Chuck Knobloch. He signed Johnny Damon. But again, I'm sure we have a bunch of calls that'll tell me all the bad moves he's made. Great. Good for you. Good. He has made some bad moves. The Donaldson's one of his worst ones, the Donaldson trade. But he's made a lot of great moves, too, but you all conveniently forget that. Here's Chris from Manhattan. He's got some bad ones that he wants to tell me about. Right, Chris?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Hey, no, I'm okay. Listen. I'm changing the subject a little bit. The girl, Caitlin Clark, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal, but I just can't put her in the same breath as Pistol Pete.
You have to now.
No, you do not have to.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Nope.
Let me finish.
Go ahead.
He only played 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
He only played 3 years. There was no three-point shot, which we're not discussing enough. I mean, she's great, but they went and looked at all of his films for the 3 years he played. You know he would have averaged 61 or 63 points a game if there was a three-point line, right?
Probably.
No, that's a fact.
Well, it can't be a fact, unfortunately. But yeah,
I don't understand both the positive and the negative of it. Why does it have to be a comparison? I mean, it's different eras. It's a different sport.
I mean,
I would think that Maravich played against more would-be pro basketball players than Caitlin is. I mean, just by the sheer numbers. I mean, I don't know how many of the women that she's going up against are going to end up in the WNBA, but I think that's key unfair. Like, it's the two different people, two different eras, almost basically two different. They play the same sport, Peter, but it's really unfair to compare both positively and negatively.
Yeah, but you know why it's being compared? Because everybody's saying she broke Pete Maravich's record.
Well, she did.
Yeah, but what the caller's saying is true. He played 3 years and without the three-point line. But so like, it's apples and wrenches.
It's not apples and wrenches. This is apples and oranges. This is very
apples
much the same fruits.
Yeah.
We're at least in the same fruits, but... I get why people bring it up, but my argument back to him was exactly how I feel. He said, it's one thing for someone to say, I believe Pete Maravich was better than Caitlin Clark because of X, Y, and Z reasons. But for the caller to say, you can't have them in the same conversation. No, you very much can, and you're going to, because she is now the all-time leading scorer in college basketball. How do you not have, this is the conversation. Which one is better? Oh, well, he had this, she might have had fiercer competition. You can go back and forth. To act as if you're not going to have a conversation with them both, you are.
But there is a difference between men's basketball and women's basketball.
But they're both playing in their own world. I mean...
Right.
Right. So she's the greatest scorer in women's college basketball history.
And he's the greatest scorer in men's.
And there will be... We'll see what her pro career turns out to be like. But I don't know. I just get... I get a little annoyed by how much conversation there is pushing back on Caitlin Clark. Do you know what I'm saying, Tom?
But actually, I admire the caller.
Yeah,
he's not
fine.
Even going into the sexes of the two people.
No.
He's like, well, listen, Maravich only played 3 years. Maravich didn't have the 3-point. Like, so he broke it down in basketball terms. I respect him for where he went.
I'm just not hearing... I know there was an argument last week with J.J. Redick, etc., but I'm not hearing all the people stopping their feet and saying...
No, it's Jay Williams who said it.
Sorry, Jay Williams, I apologize.
Yeah, he said, she's not a champion. So she can't be the greatest. She's not a championship.
I'm not.
Neither did Pete Maravich.
Right. I am not. I'm just not understanding why we're making such a thing about the Pete part when I don't see tons of people saying Caitlin Clark way better than Pete Maravich. I feel like it's the other way around. All the Pete Maravich people are going, she's not better than Pete Maravich. I don't see people saying she's better. She broke the scoring record. It is what it is. You can't fight it.
But,
hold on, LeBron. Is LeBron James a better scorer at his core than Kobe?
Well
I don't think he was.
Let me ask you this.
But he has way more points than Kobe.
Let's say that the record for points in a season, all right, whatever that is, was broken in the ABA. Would it count? Would it be talked about? Both professional basketball leagues.
But this is the same league.
It's not
a different gender.
Well, they're both college basketball.
Division One. They're both Division One college basketball players.
But there is a difference. I'm just saying that there's a difference.
But so what? But like,
well, I'm not saying so. Yeah, of course. So what? But that's what I'm saying.
So what is the? But why is there just so much pushback? No one's saying she is better than Pete Maravich. I never want to hear anyone mention Pete Maravich again. No one's going to say that. He's the all-time men's leading scorer. She's the all-time women's leading scorer.
But I believe you're going too far the other way. I think he made some legitimate points based on the amount of time Maravich played in college basketball, and there was no three-point line, so he didn't even go there.
But what, I'm not making
But you
this...
just were sensitive instantly
no,
because somebody
no.
made the comparison that it had anything not, to do with men
no, no,
and
no.
women.
Hear me out. I'm not saying, I do think some people are bringing it up because of that. I'm not saying that's what the caller was saying. I'm just saying, why can't they both exist? You cannot change the fact she is the all-time leading college basketball scorer. That's it. Everyone's going to know the caveats. Everyone knows he played men's college basketball. Everybody knows that.
A lot of people don't even know who Pete Maravich is.
Why are we even having a conversation with those people? If we're here having a conversation, everyone knows the differences
exist. People hear what they want to hear, Peter. So Caitlin Clark is the all-time leading scorer in college basketball. So some people hear, well, she's better than Pete Maravich. That's what they're hearing. So they're trying to give Pete Maravich the points that he would have if he played that fourth year, because when Pete Maravich played, they didn't play freshmen, and if he had 3 points, he'd have over 6,000 points. So that's all they're hearing, that she's better than Pete Maravich. So they're trying to counteract that by giving Pete Maravich that extra year and giving him the 3-point shot. I don't think it should be looked at as taking anything away from Caitlin Clark.
Now, if somebody called up and said she's a woman, so it shouldn't, then that's ignorance. Then dismiss it. But I thought the guy came with like a logical basketball argument.
No, if
it had been broken by a man at Iowa, that you could have the same argument.
Well, of course, but here's the thing. I would say this. If this whole thing was being done by a man right now, it would be 10 times a bigger story. If we're being realistic, but it is a woman, and it is very cool, and she does seem to be someone who's transcending the women's game. She may be someone who catapults this league, which has now been around, 22 years, whatever it is, and very much needs sort of a kick in the you-know-what. But to me, all of those things are sort of side points. The point is, Pete Maravich, an all-time great college player. Nah. Caitlin Clark's going to be in the same conversation. By the way, does anybody argue that Pistol Pete Maravich is the greatest basketball player of all time?
Some may say
Some say he's one of the greatest scorers. He might be the greatest scorer of all time, just a pure showman scorer. And one other thing,
but no one argues he's the greatest basketball player of all time.
No, but one thing he didn't have a shot clock. So the other team could hold the ball for a minute and a half.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of things that make it different.
I just looked, just that caller specifically, and a lot of the debate is healthy, and it would be debate no matter what. You know, when Eric Dickerson broke O.J.'s record, you don't think that there were debates. Wait, O.J. had a 14-game season. Eric Dickerson had a 16-game season.
And I think those are legitimate arguments. Yeah,
has there been a lot of argument about LeBron's numbers being loaded relative to Kareem because of the three-point line?
Only because Kareem wasn't a three-point shooter.
You think people would be shooting it down, though? I don't know if they would.
They might.
I don't know. I just feel like we're getting...
Well, he's blown by everybody and is still giving. So, I mean, but...
And he's not a better scorer than so many people on that list ahead of him.
This is healthy debate, man. I mean, listen, Michael Jordan decided to play longer.
Don, here's the difference. You're hearing it as healthy debate because they're making reasonable arguments. I'm pointing out, I feel like the reason people seem to have to mention it is because there's some need, and maybe it's not gender, but there's some need to kind of pull back at Caitlin Clark. Like, she's getting too much hype.
Well, I think, but that's a negative way of looking at it. The positive way is we're actually including a woman in legitimate sports conversation.
No, that's a
so we shouldn't shoot down these people that want to debate it automatically assuming that they're sexist.
But I didn't do that. I'm just asking, why are we all calling him? But who is out there leading the charge of Caitlin Clark is better than Pistol Pete? And to Michael's point, it's just how people hear it. But it's not an argument people are really having. She just scored more points.
You're taking all the fun out of sports radio, Peter.
I know. I'm just saying she scored more points. It doesn't mean she's better. She scored more points.
Let's go to Ray in East Orange.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, Mike, Don, and Peter. I'm a lifetime listener, and I'm always a hopeful caller, so thank you for taking my call down.
Thank you.
Yeah, about this Brian Cashman thing. As a Yankee fan myself, a lot of these Yankee fans are not educated about how Brian Cashman has kept like a lot of these teams intact, you know? And one particular contract that I remember was Bernie Williams, okay? He almost left the Bronx, okay? And if it wasn't for Brian Cashman and Steinbrenner, okay, Bernie would have not finished off his career. So you add that contract signing and all the other signings that they did in order to get those four championships in the late 90s, and then you add the one in 2009 to where he was able to spend like $300+ million to get CeCe, Teixeira, and AJ and to win a World Series.
Well, you know, Ray, you're actually like backing up what I said, but I got to push back. I mean, the only reason that Bernie Williams was signed with the Yankees was because of George Steinbrenner called him. He called up George. That didn't involve Brian at all. I mean, and also the 2009, getting those three free agents, that was the Steinbrenner family saying, you know, we're opening up a new stadium, go get it. And he went and got it, and I give him credit for that. But listen, the Yankee fan that's out there, for some reason or another, and maybe it's because of the fact they haven't won a World Series since 2009, they have a white-hot hatred for Brian Cashman. There's no amount of, like, breaking it down for you, giving you reasonable arguments. It's going to change your mind. There's people in that camp, and there's people in the other camp. And I don't think ever the twain shall meet. It just won't. Don said it best. I said something 2 weeks ago. It really stuck with me. I said, well, what would people think about Brian Cashman if they win this year? They'll say, well, win two in a row.
Right. You're the one that said it's about championships,
the guy
not championships.
Never, ever get up.
Nope.
He just can't. So, I mean, I find it almost folly that I sit here and defend him. Even when I rip him about certain things, people only hear the defense of certain things, which is what Peter said, because people are so over the top with their hatred of him. If I push back a little, then I'm being a homer for him. When I just said in hour four, or the 4 o'clock hour, the deal for Josh Donaldson will go down as one of his worst ever. Who Josh retired this. So, again, there are people that just hate him with a white-hot intensity that I can't understand. But people, that's what sports is about. That's what this is about. I'll give you my points. You can give me your points. I don't think I'm changing anybody's mind.
And let me make one point as we go to break, though, on the Caitlin Clark of it all.
All right.
While everyone says this thing and they keep pointing out, but what about, think about all of the incredible men's and women's players who have come along. Your Michael Jordans, your Steph Currys. Let's go to the ones that had a three-point line. Your Allen Iversons, your Steph Curry. None of them broke this record. Caitlin Clark did. That is worth something.
You want to know another thing, Peter? Before you tell us about BetterHelp?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Cashman had a chance to trade for Caitlin Clark. Didn't do it.
Oh, what a hack.
Didn't do it.
And I'll never make the Hall of Fame for that. But, Michael, I have an important message, and it's brought to you by our friends over at BetterHelp. What's the first thing you would do if you had an extra hour in your day? Because we all want more time, but what would you do with the time? Would you exercise more? Would you nap? Would you try to read something? You know, spend that time in the gym with the fam? Therapy is such a useful tool for so many reasons, but they can help you. Therapists can help you develop positive coping skills, set boundaries, help you figure out what you would do with that time if you had it. Or maybe you should spend that time if you were to get it in therapy. I know for me, some of the hardest times I've had have seriously been helped with therapy. If you've been considering therapy, well, I would say consider giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible. It's suited to your schedule. You get a licensed therapist. You can switch at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Peter today to get 10% off your first month. Again, guys, for 10% off your first month, try therapy online. BetterHelp.com/Peter.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
The point's gone.
You have made no good points, Peter.
You're so right, Michael.
I think you made some salient points.
Yeah, because you're an ass.
They need that great superstar to take the next step into being a finals contender. Why wouldn't you want that? I'm not saying trade away the players you love. They've got so many first-round draft picks stocked up. That's how you get that player. How could you say you don't want that superstar? Everybody wants to grow everything organically. It doesn't work like that. You could say, well, the Denver Nuggets did that. Okay, but, I mean, did they know that Nikola Jokic was going to become that when they drafted him? It's really hard to do. I don't get it when people say, well, I don't want to add anything. Why? You don't want to be great?
I think this is really a moral blow to Peter. He thought he had it.
I didn't think you said anything worthwhile today. No offense.
That was pretty good.
It was fine. You said that before.
It's very obvious.
I'm surprised I didn't win that today. Again,
I am too.
Yankees Mets tomorrow on ESPN.
Oh, what time?
At 1 p.m.
All right.
So a lot of people are going to be mic'd up. Volpe, Aaron Boone, Matt Blake, and Brian Cashman. As well as Met manager Carlos Mendoza, and they're planning on getting some Mets as well. They haven't nailed it down yet. So 1 p.m. tomorrow, Yankees and the Mets on ESPN. You're talking about Caitlin Clark. And, well, you know, one of the foremost authorities on basketball to me is the great Bob Ryan. And he just tweeted this out 7 minutes ago. I don't know if he's listening or not. He said, the very thought that we are having this Pistol Clark discussion testifies to the growth of the women's game. Caitlin Clark is more identifiable than any current male college player.
That's for sure.
And it's not even close. Well, the male college game has been destroyed. You know, any player that's great is gone after 1 year. I mean, there's no connection with the school at all. At least in women's college basketball, they stay. Caitlin Clark could have stayed another year with the COVID rule.
She could. She could
have been there 5 years. She decided not to. But I think women, last year's NCAA Women's Championship game, Peter, on TV, 9.9 million viewers.
Insane.
It's a big deal now. It's a big deal. Mark and Dix Hills wants to disagree with you, Peter.
Okay.
Hello,
yeah,
Mark.
Peter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with what Michael, what you just said. I love Caitlin. I like to marry her if I wasn't married already.
Okay.
She's terrific. I love her. But, Peter, you are so wrong. Are you kidding me?
Hmm.
Open your eyes.
About what?
It's a woman's game against a man's game. How are you saying that? Oh, she scored it. You got to give it to her. It's so great.
What?
Pistol Pete. I don't care about Pistol Pete. I don't care what man scored. It's a different game. What the hell's wrong with you?
But they each play in their game. But, Mark, they each play in their own game. You can only compare people to the game they play in.
So compare it, but you can't compare it when you're comparing stats at the end of it. Yeah, it's a different game, so you're making the point for me.
So why hasn't another woman prior to Caitlin Clark, if the game's so easy, why didn't a Maya Moore or a Rebecca Lobo or a Cheryl
Swoops? I said she's terrific, but you can't compare the two. The men are the men, the women are the women.
Okay, but if the men are if you're saying, I'm obviously aware that men play in one league and women play in another, but obviously the implication from what you're saying is that the competition you're making the point for a reason, right? So if the leagues are different, it's to suggest the men's league is more competitive. So I'm asking you, why hasn't a woman come along prior to Caitlin and put up these numbers?
I'm not saying she's not terrific, but keep her in her own lane. Don't put her in our lane. We're in a different lane.
Mark, I don't understand what you're saying. I don't follow.
But I think both can be wrong in the sense that just because you want to question that there's a difference, that all of a sudden you become sexist.
But that, what, but not, or to, now you're like, well, no, we're no, trying to, no, listen, we're saying
both
can
be wrong. He was wrong. That's like, stay in your lane. That's wrong. But it's also not, you know, wrong to say
the
that
games are different.
The games are different. And, like, we were talking off the air, like, if you were to ask the question, who holds the record for most points in college basketball? You would have to say, well, you're talking the women's game or the men's game. Right? Is that wrong to ask that?
You probably would ask, right? And people probably will move forward.
Because, like I said, if the USFL ended up existing parallel to the NFL, and one quarterback had the record for touchdowns, the other quarterback had the record for touchdowns, and the one in the USFL had more, and you asked the question, who holds the record in pro football? The answer would be USFL. But if you said NFL, the answer would be different. There's two separate things going on.
I agree, but the reason this has become a conversation is because what you just did wasn't apples to apples. USFL and NFL is not men's D1 and women's D1. They're governed by the same thing. They're all under the same thing. So my point is, yes, of course they're different, but people are saying she's the all-time college scorer.
So who holds the record for majors in golf? They have majors in the LPGA, don't they?
Sure they do, and people don't talk about that. I get it.
And now they're talking about this, so it's a good thing. But I don't think that you're sexist if you want to say
that
they're separate. I don't think you're wrong either for acknowledging it.
I don't think it's inherently sexist to point out that there's a difference. Of course, the way that the style of the game is different. There's practically no dunking in the women's game. There's a lot of things that make the games different. I have no issue with that. But I will just say, Caitlin Clark's greatness is personified by many things. One of them being, no one prior to her has allowed for this conversation to even happen, because none were in the ballpark of passing that number. But she did. So what's the... Can someone help me? What was the point of the last caller's call?
Well, he thinks there should be a clear delineation between the women's game and the men's game.
But everyone knows that there's a delineation. No one's going to forget about Pistol Pete tomorrow.
I guess people just take umbrage with the fact that you're saying she's the leading college scorer.
But that's just what she is. No human has ever matriculated to a university and scored more points. That's all. No one's going to say she's also the greatest men's scorer of all time. I guess I'm just struggling to hear what the issue is. I've never even thought about it. Pistol Pete will be the all-time men's scorer. She'll be the all-time women's scorer until their records get broken. Who cares? But in this moment, when people are trying to celebrate her, they're adding to it, she's also the number one college scorer of all time. Because guess what? It sounds sexier. It's more presentable. It makes her a bigger star. Who cares? Does that make sense? Why are people offended? If Mr. and Mrs. Maravich call up, we can have a conversation, but why would the average person care?
Well, Pete's dad is dead, Press Maravich.
Well, but what are their children, Maravich?
I don't know if they're children, Maravich. I'll have to check that out. I'll have to check to see if there's little pistols. When I'm getting ready for a game, I have to be prepared on my lineup cards, the latest team stats, and of course my mug of Bigelow tea. For me, it's Bigelow Earl Grey with a smooth taste that keeps my voice in peak condition even when the game goes into extra innings. I refuse to settle, neither should you. No matter how hectic your day gets, grab your favorite Bigelow tea. Take a moment just for you. So grab a mug of your favorite Bigelow tea and join the millions of fans that make Bigelow number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.